Well, all right. Well, we just barely made it, but we are here anyway. So good morning, folks. This is Mark Call. We're going to be live this morning. Talk about what's going on in the world. There's a whole lot of stuff to talk about. As usual, at least as often is the case, we have all of us on board. They got Tim Kern in the Midwest and Jeff Gilbert way down south. So let's begin and let me go to Jeff first and say, Jeff, where would you like to start today? Because there is so much to talk about.
Well, you know, there's a bit of tragedy that I'd like to bring up. It's really kind of a downer to start the show.
For recording
this.
Your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
What if I do if I press 4?
I think that's Tim's. I thought when he came on.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record,
Siri's big sister.
Press 3.
Okay.
I guess.
Are you still
gone.
There? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message.
You.
If you are satisfied with your
Tim,
message,
Tim, are you on Facebook? Are you on? Are you on Skype?
Press 2 to erase and re-record.
I'm on Skype.
Press 3.
Okay,
I
hang
still
on.
Hang up.
Sorry, you're having trouble. Your message has been
yes,
sent.
Yes, you are. Sorry, we're having trouble.
Bye. There we go.
Okay, good. We're done, Mark.
It's gone.
Okay, so start off with something. Really sad, really disappointing. Someone left the door open and crippled India's $3 billion submarine. Insert every other nationality into the joke you want, but this time it actually happened. Somebody left the door open and the boat sank.
Oh, no.
A bummer.
Well,
okay.
So, did they lose the whole crew?
No. It they saved it, but when I was growing up, there's, you know, everybody makes Polish jokes and,
now you get banned from Facebook for that. Well, no, I guess you don't if you're left far enough. You can make white male jokes on Facebook or the New York Times.
Don't do that. Oh, no. No, but anyhow, lots of stuff happening. I think the biggest thing, and that's something that Tim had made a quick comment on before we started, and I had a comment on, is basically Chris Hughes, co-founder of Facebook, having a, well, whatever pity party or anger party, whatever you want to say. But I think the biggest thing is there's been a lot of people calling for the breakup of this social media giant, Facebook. And, they look back to AT&T breaking up Ma Bell and did that help or hurt? Well, you break up Facebook. Is that going to take care of the problem? Because Chris Hughes's biggest complaint is that Facebook is this, you know, big data sharing, privacy invading corporate monster. And
well,
the problem
actually,
is if you break that up, what are you going to get? A whole bunch of little privacy invading corporate monsters. So for me, I don't think either one of the options is good. I think the option is stay away from it.
I'm not sure if I would agree with your take on what Chris was really saying. He seemed to me, and Tim, just before we started, and I know he'll say this again, thinks it's sour grapes, but he did seem to have a problem with the power mongering. Literally, he said basically over and over again, hey, this guy Zuckerberg, Mark's a nice guy, but he's just power mad and power corrupts. And what was interesting to me was here is the New York Times publishing an op-ed from a guy who is clearly pretty far left of center, maybe not quite as far left as Facebook has gotten to be now, or to Facebook, as I like to refer to it. But, just the fact that he would write this op-ed was, I think, the interesting part of the story and call for the breakup. Now, his solution, of course, more regulation, is not one that most of us who understand free markets would accept. But on the other hand, neither is a corporate behemoth that is able to, by virtue of its influence and ability to control government and literally the public-private partnership that it's been involved in, exercise the kind of power that it is. In other words, we wouldn't have gotten here anyway if we had a free market or it was really a private business to begin with. So I know, Tim, you've got some comments on this. Go ahead.
I think all these gripers need to do is put some money together and build a platform that will accept your download of all your stuff from Facebook and relaunch.
Well, I hear you, and you've You've made that comment before. Let me give you the argument that was actually in the New York Times piece, and this is part of the reason why I thought it was interesting and wanted to get your take on it, because essentially what Chris Hughes said is they've tried that, and he basically just absorbs them like an amoeba eating prey because he's so big. So how do you respond to that aspect?
You don't have to sell it to him. You know, he can't force you. He can't force you to do it. But, you know, if I start something like MeWe, for instance, and Zuckerberg comes along and says, hey, how would you like $50 million for that? I'd say, hey, enjoy it. Have a nice day. And I'm off to Aruba.
Well, yeah. And on the other hand, you can go back and look at history. I mean, one of my favorite lines is John D. Rockefeller, Standard Oil, everybody that's not been public school indoctrinated in the last few years has probably read about that story. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tim. I looked for the quote. I couldn't find it yesterday, but there was a famous quote where he was talking about what he wanted to be able to do and who he would squeeze and how much he would control the market and what he would be able to price his oil at and so forth. And his response was to say, while he's hitting the table, all the market will bear. And essentially what we're talking about here is, and again, I think this is the interesting thing with this op-ed, Facebook in this case is not controlling a market by predatory pricing because their service is free. What they're doing is they're controlling a market by eliminating the competition. And, you know, as much as we might like to say, oh, yeah, just start up another startup and go for it and so forth, it's not that simple when the kind of power that Facebook has aggregated can be brought to bear because they destroy the competition. And they do it in all kinds of ways. Now, by the way, I do wish that Trump would simply jawbone and with Twitter, for example, and say, look, I'm going to go to one of these others because he does have that power. And that would be a step in the right direction. But go ahead.
Well, you know, Friendster was unassailable, and so was MySpace, and, you know, so was General Motors, for that matter. You can topple the giant if you don't get interfered with. And if that many people are that dissatisfied with Facebook, well, why do they keep using it? It's not a question of having even a competing product. It's a question of having happy customers. And I all day long on Facebook, I see people griping about Facebook. Dude, you know, you're eating my food. Stop complaining about it. You get it for free.
Yeah. I don't see that because I don't participate on Facebook. But I do see the shutdowns and the influence and so forth, even from the outside.
Well, I use Facebook. I used to be pretty laid back about it, and now I'm using it for malicious humor, which is a term I just invented. But I have a Facebook friend, a guy I've never met, who's a raging liberal, black activist, victim, Trump hater kind of guy. And I posted an article from the Foundation of Economic
Education. Fee. Yeah.
Yeah. Economic education, talking about how, you know, this economy, yes, the rich have gotten richer, but the poor have gotten richer at a much higher rate. And he made a comment, you know, he hates anything having to do with Trump. And he blames everything on Trump, or if it's good, he says Obama did it.
Yeah,
but you know, he said,
like, the investigation,
trickle-down economics has never worked and it never will. I said, this is the opposite of that, so you like it, right? He goes, no.
Well, so, I gotta ask the question,
some people,
what's the point of the interaction, honestly, Tim? Because it doesn't sound like anything you say is going to matter, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be educated, and he's certainly not going to convince you, so why bother?
Well, I bother because there's about 50 other people in on the discussion, and they see what an idiot this guy is.
Okay. So that argument I'll accept. If there are people watching, then they can watch and learn to some extent anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
you talk about removing your stuff from Facebook. Well, there's an article from Google. I mean, not from Google, about Alexa, talking about Amazon's Alexa, and that you can delete your voice recordings. but all the transcripts are still there, and you can't delete the transcripts. So you can remove your stuff. Once you post something there, you can remove it, but that doesn't mean that you can remove it. It's still there somewhere, and they still have access to it because you posted it. And because of your user agreement on Facebook, any photo that you post is no longer yours ad infinitum. You can remove it, but that doesn't mean they can't use it.
That's, yeah, but the problem seems to be that people are getting blocked for saying something that is not towing the Democrat line. And if if that's still up there, who cares? Go to another platform and they won't delete you. That's right, I see the argument being.
But how is Facebook different than any other news or social organization that's ever existed? If you don't toe the party line, then they get rid of you or silence you. And Facebook is no different.
Well, no, it's about bigness.
I completely agree. That's why I think this is a tempest in a teapot.
Right. But the biggest thing is people who are posting their everyday life. I mean, posting their bowel movements and anything personal they want to post on there, that stuff stays on forever. You can remove it, but that doesn't mean it's gone.
All right. Well, let me, as an outsider, ask a question or two, okay? Because these are the kind of things that I have noticed. If I go to comment on a web page not associated with Two Facebook or with Gulag or any of the others, at least officially, and or even, for crying out loud, to log into a site to get some information about a technical issue. Who knows? It's going to say, enter your Facebook login or this or that, basically naming the socialist media platforms. And while sometimes there's a way to get in, other times you simply can't access them without a Facebook or a whatever. Go ahead, Jeff.
You misunderstand. You may not have a Facebook account. You may never have had a Facebook account, but they know you.
I know that. I don't misunderstand.
They have friends who know you, but they know you because of all these websites that sell their data to Facebook. Because
sure.
we're blaming Facebook for selling our data, but it's not just Facebook. Every single group, every single website that you go on has the Washington Post, or if you go to Bloomberg, or if you go anywhere, Time. You're going to have your information sold to somebody.
Okay, now it's not the selling part even that concerns me so much as the point I was getting to, which is limiting of access for people that don't participate. I mean, there are websites that basically, if you don't have a Facebook ID or one of the others that I can't even name, then you don't get in. And there's a comment within the piece from Chris Hughes that says this, and this is more to the issue that I think is important, Tim, and bear some discussion. It's not that they're simply a private platform. When they have not acquired their way to dominance, Facebook has used its monopoly position to shut out competing companies or copied and literally stolen their technology. Talks about an algorithm that prioritized videos from Facebook over videos from competitors like YouTube and Vimeo. And Twitter introduced a video network of their own called Vine. And that same day, Facebook blocked Vine from hosting a tool that let its users basically interface with some of their stuff. And that decision hobbled Vine, which they managed to get shut down 4 years later. Snapchat, similarly. Now, the point is the following, and this is what people that have small websites have noticed, or even a competing platform, Tim. If Facebook, for example, behind closed doors, colludes, there's the word. That's not a crime unless the president does it. If they collude with Gulag to prioritize search results and to de-emphasize the Laura Loomers and Alex Joneses and Paul Joseph Watsons and Tim Kearns and Jeff Gilberts and Mark Calls and Hebrew Nation Radios of the world, and nobody ever hears about it, right, was their sound, because Gulag de-emphasizes the search. It's to the point now where Facebook is saying, if you even comment about Alex Jones and don't say something like, you know, he's a nasty SOB in the tweet, their AI will delete your account, well, after the second offense. And so it's the issue of control and essentially throttling the competition that bothers me. I'll say it that way. I'm not proposing, because I don't agree with Hughes, that Big Brother needs to step in, but I do understand that monopoly positions, when they especially, there are libertarians, of course, that will argue that a monopoly can't exist without Big Brother's help, and I kind of tend to lean towards accepting that. But that's exactly what we're talking about here, is a level of power and control, the likes of which have not been seen, at least not in this field.
Well,
go ahead, Tim.
You can say that about any monopoly as long as it existed. In a free market, a monopoly will not stand.
Okay, so let's say I will concede that point. But then, of course, the argument is, well, we don't have a free market. Haven't had honest money for a long time. Don't have free access to the web. Don't have free access to a lot of things.
Okay, great. So you want the government telling Facebook whom they can block and whom they cannot block?
No, I don't.
Well,
and that's
then you're going to have to come up with a third way. And what would that be?
Well, my preferred third way would be to say that, for example, and I know more about the situation with Gulag. They were given proprietary technology, it would seem, through DARPA. They were given access to certain things. There are certain collusions that are going on in order to, well, here's an example. Patreon and PayPal are shutting out conservative, libertarian, constitutionalist, Bible-believing sites and essentially saying, how are you going to stay in business? They've done the same thing with gun sellers. We're not going to clear your checks. We're not going to process your credit card accounts. And it's that kind of monopoly power. It's not just a single company, in other words. It's a fascist public-private partnership of, and how is the, what's the common thread with those? Well, they essentially interface via the Federal Reserve and via dishonest weights and measures. So what I'm suggesting here is Facebook is, if you will, one part of a huge iceberg or octopus, pick your metaphor.
Well, you can say that too, but you know, business was transacted before PayPal.
And there
are plenty of other ways to get around it. PayPal is convenient, and that is why people put up with the fees and with the hassles and so on. But since the beginning of any of these kinds of things, PayPal has not allowed gun sellers and buyers to exchange money that way. Of course, you can always tell them you're selling a baby carriage for $650. And send the money that way.
Well, and the same thing goes for the various Craigslist and you name it. You can't advertise them. You can't talk about them. Videos have been pulled by YouTube that are politically incorrect, so forth.
Right. So start a platform for gun owners. Start a platform for anybody else. You can have your own servers, and they can't touch you.
All it takes is a few $100 million, right?
No, that's not all it takes. Zuckerberg didn't have a few $100 million.
Well, Zuckerberg seems to have had some connections that basically put Facebook into place. That is a more difficult argument to make and to prove, but it certainly does seem that they've, once they get into bed with Big Brother, they're getting lots and lots of goodies.
Well, it's true, but you know, the DARPA information, just like NASA information, NASA research is available to any American citizen. All you have to do is ask the right question.
Okay. So, well, I mean, my take has always been, it's not like I don't have a solution I've been suggesting for quite a while. As individuals, you know, your vote doesn't matter, and so much of the things that you were told are really going to fix it haven't fixed it. Locker up hasn't happened, obviously. So my take has been that what Scripture tells us is come out of her, don't participate. When you see the crookedness, you know, take your ball and go home. Don't play in a rigged game. Now, to some extent, what Big Brother's response to that is, well, we're not going to let you not play. If it's a vaccine, we're going to bend you over a table and we're going to inject you with it, whether you like it or not. If you want to try to establish a place where free people can live together, we're going to invade it from the south. In other words, pressure from above, pressure from below. I encourage folks to understand all of this, and I like going through some of the arguments because it helps to outline the issues. I don't expect that anybody that we know of, and Tim, I know you've been pushing this horse for a while, is going to have the capital, the connections, the ability to set up an alternative to Facebook. I don't have the money. I certainly couldn't do it, even if I have some of the expertise.
Who says that the world needs an alternative to Facebook?
I don't. I'm not pushing that.
You know, you don't have to, as you say, you don't have to participate in it. And it doesn't make you any less informed, really. You can get your information from any other government-sponsored source.
That's true.
You know, okay. The committees of correspondence have kind of gone away. And I suppose if you use the postal service for it, you can get mailed for that too. But you know, this is we've beat this horse for quite a while. What we've got right now, though, I'd love to change the subject to our favorite town, Washington D.C. I hate to even use the word Washington when I talk about D.C. And that's all I ever call it is D.C.
Right, the District of Criminals.
Well, yeah, I just don't want to have the name of somebody like George Washington associated with that place.
Understood.
But, you know, we have a situation right now where the chairman of the House, I guess it's the Intel Committee.
Oh, you're talking about Nadler.
Yeah, Jerry Nadler, where he is actually using his office to blackmail the Attorney General into committing a crime.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Seriously. I mean,
it's true.
He is going to hold him in contempt of Congress if the Attorney General does not publicly release material which he is not by law allowed to publicly release.
Break the law.
So he's committing blackmail. He's trying to blackmail the Attorney General. And I just hope that Mr. Barr figures this out and actually what do they never do? Let's suppose he does something about it. We get a whole lot of talk. We had a whole lot of talk from Trey Gowdy. We had a whole lot of talk. Oh, we didn't have any talk from Jeff Sessions.
Well, wait a second.
We've had nothing but talk, but we've had no action. And Tim, I'm really tired of letting criminals get away with stuff to the point of literally blackmailing the Attorney General.
Okay, so you're right. And yet, I'm thinking back to one of the most criminally evil attorney generals, and that's saying a whole lot, in modern history, you know, Janet Reno excepted, was Eric Holder, Mr. Fast and Furious. He was held in contempt of Congress. And what happened? Well, he got his big reward, got a cushy deal with a law firm when he walked, and it didn't make a darn bit of difference. So that was a paper tiger.
That still doesn't change the crime that Nadler is committing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a misuse of his office.
Sure it is.
It's blackmail right out there in front for everybody. Blackmail is still illegal in most parts of the U.S.
Unless you're a Hillary Clinton, a James Comey, or anybody that has been involved in the entire blackmail attempt to overthrow a president for the last 2 years. So all I'm suggesting, Tim, is I completely concur. Nadler's an evil son of a you-know-what. But the problem is, what he's doing is establishing himself as the kind of guy that the Democrats would love to run for president, because he, too, is able to get away with crimes. That seems to be the primary characteristic of somebody that wants to be a high-ranking presidential contender.
Well, this is why I'm worried that if Barr doesn't shut this down, if Barr doesn't send some of these people into... I think, really, it is high time for people like Hillary and Comey and Loretta Lynch and Lois Lerner and Eric Holder and Barack Obama. I think it's time for them to have a chance in court to clear their good name.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? I'm continuing to say, don't hold your breath. Now, if you didn't see the story from the blackmail William Barr, he actually had a cute news clip where he said, hey, you know, he was laughing about Nadler and saying, yep, this is a record. 100 days is all it took him to hold me in contempt of Congress. Hardy har. And he's right to laugh at these buffoons, and that's true. I guess I have to say this, Tim, before the music comes up, and that is, if all of us aren't in contempt of Congress, I hold them in contempt. I hold them in utter contempt because they hold the Constitution and their oaths that some of them took, at least, to it in utter contempt. So if we don't hold them in contempt, there's something wrong. So maybe William Barr is in good company, being held in contempt by those who hold the rest of us in contempt.
welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Second half of Drive Time Friday with your host, Mark McCall, myself, Jeff Gilbert, and Tim Kern. We are going to pick up this side. I'm going to start off with a little bit of a different story, and then I know where we're going after that. But this has to do with a great big parade that we're going to throw in November. I am so looking forward to this extravagant expense and extravagant waste of money that we're going – oh, please, I want to. $92 million they're going to pay for this military parade like North Korea, China, and Russia do for some show of whatever. $92 million. That's $80 million more than they first thought last month. We'll see what's going to turn into by the time November rolls around. But personally, I'm not really fond of us doing big military shows of force for no reason whatsoever when we have people, especially veterans, dying in their own VA hospitals from lack of treatment. But anyhow, go ahead, guys.
Okay, Tim, where were we? The point was that we got treason at all levels, and I think the good news in here is that it's coming out anyway. Let me kick it off with the John Solomon story. It's been talked about, and he's been leading up to it for a couple of days. The Steele story by the FBI falls apart, and essentially, what did they know and when did they know it? Answer: they knew it was all a crock 10 days at least before they went and lied through their teeth to the FISA court to get the bogus warrant in the Star Chamber. So essentially, things have been falling apart even more than they already were. New memos, handwritten notes taken by Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Kathleen Kavalek, who essentially saw through it, notified a bunch of people that, hey, this is a crock. And what the FBI do, they redacted all of the memos. It did not appear in the witch hunt report that any of this had happened. They covered the whole stinking mess up. And the more we find out about it, the more it's obvious that the Comeys and Strzok and Pages and, yes, Mueller's of the world were complicit in acts that amount to, insurrection, treason, revolt, a breach of their trust, you name it. Go ahead.
Well, for the record, I want to agree with Jeff. let's do that first.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think the parade is a crock all by itself, and I think we've got better things to not right take $92 million of debt for.
Okay.
And
well,
that's just today. Wait till it gets closer to November. I bet it's going to be three times that.
Stipulated.
Oh, yep. No kidding. And the protests alone are going to cost at least twice that much.
Yeah, but look at all the jobs they create, all the police they have to get used to manage all the crowds, right?
Exactly. And all the destruction that's going to happen when they march through in protest and burn down buildings. But let's
and all the trash they leave behind because they really don't care about their environment.
Oh, of course not. But
but you got to admit, guys, I'll say this. It's a great distraction. It's yet another distraction.
I don't want to get off on another tangent, but you know, Ireland just outlawed fracking in Ireland where they have nothing to frack.
I was going to ask. Okay, but let's not. Let's go back.
But I want to go back. Then you're talking about the, you know, people within. People who signed the petition for the FISA warrant knew that Steele was a crock. They knew that the information had not been verified and yet swore that it had. And I still wait to see when one of these criminals is going to get indicted.
Even if it's Nelly Orr, yeah.
It never, ever happens. It doesn't matter what it is. You go back to the Clinton so-called trial in the Senate. That was completely illegal. After he was impeached, the Senate had a trial and they brought in Senator, was it Dale Bumpers?
Probably.
He had just retired in January. He had just, stopped being a senator. And he was there as a witness for the defense for Bill Clinton, which is 100% unequivocally illegal. It goes all the way, not just for senators and representatives, but also to their staffs. And it's under 18 USC someplace or another. I can't quite remember where it is. But you know, it's illegal for them to appear in the defense of or on behalf of any defendant of in any federal trial for a period of, I don't know what it is, 2 years, 3 years, but it had been about 3 weeks. And the Chief Justice, Rehnquist, all the senators, everybody who allowed it, everybody who invited him, they were all facing federal felonies for in a law that they all took part in writing. And I called the FBI and said, hey, you know, here's the law. Here's what he said. Even in his testimony, he said, I'm here on behalf of President Clinton. And I said to the FBI guy, I said, you know, can a citizen get you guys to prosecute this? And all he said was, when you reach a certain level, the law just doesn't apply. Even if the law is written to your specific level.
Isn't that an amazing thing?
It's the longest thing I ever saw.
Well, and there you've nailed it, Tim. That's exactly the reason why I get so frustrated and upset at some of this, because you make the point. There is no rule of law. We live in I guess you'd call it a democracy. It's got nothing to do with the Constitution, and neither does democracy. And the law simply doesn't apply anymore. I like to quote the line from the Bible that says, justice, justice, you shall pursue, and you better pursue it elsewhere is the key.
Well, yeah, pursuing it elsewhere is the idea. You know, we get all upset about some infraction that somebody did in Ukraine some, you know, 14 years ago, or in Bosnia 25 years ago, but we don't do anything about the criminals that are right there in front of us committing crimes. And
well, they get book deals. I mean, Jim Comey got a great book deal. He's getting his payoff. Eric Holder got his partnership deal. And Barry's getting all kinds of stuff, probably getting some little boys along the side. Who knows? But Loretta, the point...
Loretta Lynch is next. And, you know, the problem with our prison system is it's so much... It's not full of people like them. It's full of people like us.
Can't argue with
that.
And
I don't like that.
Well, and so what are they going to do, Tim? They're going to go out and say, well, the red flag laws say that if you understand what's going on and don't like it, we're going to come and take your guns because somebody pointed that out. Somebody says that you're a danger because, you know, you can read the Constitution.
Well, I'll let them take the guns. They can put both hands on the barrel and pull as hard as they want. I'll hold the trigger.
Okay. Uh-oh. There you go. That's probably something that they don't want to hear either. Well, let me throw out one other thing. This is at least funny in the context of what we're talking about. Fox News legal expert author Greg Jarrett was on Sean Hannity on Thursday night to discuss the whoremeister himself fired FBI Chief James Comey. And evidently, it was just 2 years ago, and Trump marked the anniversary of firing the criminal with a tweet. But Jarrett said the following, and this is pretty interesting. There's documentary evidence now, we've been talking about it, that proves conclusively that James Comey was lying to a FISA court. And, of course, tonight, CNN played the clip where he said he went by the book, which is a lie to the American public. You know, he said James Comey is now swinging these wild haymakers because he knows that very soon he's going down on the canvas for the 10 count. He's in serious deep legal jeopardy for a number of things. Lying to the FISA court, leaking government documents that he stole, starting an investigation without credible evidence. He doesn't say it, I will. Stopping one that was, in fact, multiple felonies. Spying on the Trump campaign, lying to Congress under oath. Hope he saved all the money he made from his phony book deal, because he's going to need it for his defense team. Well, would it be that he was correct? But I think all of us are skeptical that we'll see that.
Well, it's never happened before. At least it hasn't happened since, I don't know, Tammany Hall, maybe. We don't have high-level prosecutions in this country. Clinton got impeached and he threw a party. Nixon was going to get impeached and he quit, but he appointed a vice president who pardoned him.
All right. Hey, wait a second, Tim. I know you know David Shippers because of some connections with the family that you've had. Shippers was a left-leaning Democrat in Chicago, picked by the Republicans because of that fact to be the prosecutor in the bogus Clinton impeachment. And he wrote a book. We both have it, I'm sure. Yours is probably autographed, talking about the scam and essentially saying, and this is a Democrat. These Republicans, he said, never intended to hold an honest trial. They didn't allow him. They handcuffed him. And
absolutely, the book is called Sellout.
Yep.
And you can get it. You can get it at A Books, or you can get it. I think you can still get a new one. And it's got a lot of legal documents in it, which you can either read or skip over. But the idea that no one wanted to know the truth.
And it was a lot bigger than what he was up on charges for is the problem. And shippers knew that.
Trent Lott and Lindsey Graham were instrumental in making sure that this was focused on Monica Lewinsky instead of on the China deals and instead of on the other things that Clinton had done going back to his inauguration. The really serious charges.
Treason. Money
laundering and collaborating with the Chinese and selling state secrets.
All that stuff
was kept out of it, and they focused it on sex so they could say it was only about sex, when it still wasn't only about sex. It was about perjury, suborning perjury, and witness tampering. And when they finally impeached him on that, which was like a slap on the wrist, the Senate still refused to take any action. So, yeah, David Shippers knew what he was talking about. We lost him last fall. He finally passed away. But yes, I knew his family very well. I knew him very well. One of the sharpest guys I've ever met. And I once dated one of his daughters, and I'll tell you, he made sure that you got to. A question and answer before, you got a debrief after. I'll tell you, he was good.
Okay, well, so, and the point is the following. What happens when you do not prosecute criminals in high places like the office of the president or the first lady, and they go on to commit even bigger crimes, amass even greater power and control, and realize that they're above the law and they can get away with the worst kinds of crimes that have ever been seen in the American former republics? And that's where we are.
You end up with Pinochet, or you end up with Maduro, and the fact is that they're there because they ran the system, and it's not, or you end up with Castro, you end up with guys that get elected once, and that's all they really need.
Now, we got a dozen Castros running for the Democrat office of president. They want to be your next dictator, and it literally is that bad. There are people in there, honestly, Tim, that I compare a Swalwell or Nadler's not running yet, Governor Buttplug or the Mayor Buttplug, and some of these other people that have absolutely no integrity, no intent of even playing like they are going to follow the Constitution, Kamala Harris, you name it, and I would rather have Fidel.
Well, you know, Fidel's so-called army never had more than three dozen people in it.
He was a paper tiger, yeah.
Well, the thing was that, you know, if you know you have a good chance of being murdered if you go to vote, you don't go vote.
Well, in this country, they don't kill you unless you, for example, get DNC information, and you might get Seth Rich somewhere. But it's not necessary to kill people for voting because they don't bother to count them. I wish that was a joke.
What I'm saying is that you ask the question, what happens when this power spirals and spirals and spirals, and you end up with a Pinochet, or you end up with a Maduro, or you end up with, pick anybody from Bosnia 25 years ago. You can't, you're not going to get very far with that. You get a Mao Zedong.
Or a Pol Pot,
Mao Zedong, or whatever they've renamed him.
Or Joseph Stalin. And we've adopted a lot of Stalinist tactics.
Absolutely.
The red flag laws are out of Stalin.
Twice.
So here's if I'm going to suggest some good news. We'll go to Jeff in a second. But the Solomon story is at least, the New York Times isn't hyping it yet, nor is the Clinton News Network. But the fact that the whole Steele dossier thing is falling apart, and people are realizing, those that are paying any attention at all, just how criminally evil what's been going on is, I think that's probably the only good news in this. You might be right. I doubt it. We're going to see any of these people actually prosecuted. We're probably not going to see a Barry Sotero hung for treason or a Clinton family group hanging. But on the other hand, at least if Americans begin to wake up for it, maybe that's the most positive outcome I can reasonably foresee happening, is more and more of us saying, wow, they really are that criminal. So then the question becomes, so what, right? You're not going to be able to post it and have Facebook relay it to the masses. Gulag is going to make sure that it never uptrends in a search. YouTube is going to deep six the videos. We can talk to our friends and neighbors. I contend we can come out and not participate. Jeff, what's your take on all of that?
Honestly, I don't have much of a take on it. I was listening to you guys. I haven't heard much news on it. So please continue. I'm learning a little bit here.
Okay. Well, let me throw out one more bit of good news. I thought this was kind of interesting, and it's at least along these same lines. It's probably the most encouraging thing I've seen in a while. We had another, and this might not have even been a false flag, but we had another school shooting. There you go. They're getting so common, let's just call them scoots. Had another scoot. In a gun-free killing zone in Colorado, Highlands Ranch. South end of Denver.
Oh, the STEM, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And essentially, it turns out, what was interesting about this, we haven't been told whether they were on this SSRI or that SSRI, but one of the guys was an IT transitioning, transgendering to some other kind of a thing. I think it was a female, and then was trying to claim.
A 16-year-old gender-confused female who
okay.
thought she was going to become a guy.
Right, and another
and
guy
an,
was an...
And an 18-year-old. They were both, I guess they were both students there, and the administration's reports only say, some people walked into our school. Yeah, a couple of students walked into your school.
And they were left, then, they were left to the max. They had a Facebook history, basically, of being atheist, far-left progressives, and so forth. All of that gets covered up. And that was the part that made me think, maybe this one was for real. Maybe they're finally getting some traction. They're finally getting some of the nutcases to do what they've been encouraging them, and that is realize, hey, you're in a gun-free killing zone. Get your 15 minutes of fame, guys. But here's the part that was actually interesting. This is the thing that I would call encouraging. They, of course, had a memorial for the one student who was killed because he stood up to the guy, and the name of Kendrick Castillo, 18-year-old killed mm-hmm. in the school shooting. And so they had a rally to memorialize Ken Castillo. And it turns out that the gun control nutcases came in and tried to take over. There were some high-profile, you know, Colorado senators and other scumbags up there. Michael Bennett and Jason Crow each took a turn calling for gun control, dancing on the graves, and a whole bunch of frustrated students, angry, started yelling, and they got up and they walked out. And to my mind, that was the single most important thing that came out of this is literally hundreds of students walked out saying. Let me read the actual quote here. You know, we've had it with being used. This is not for us. This is a political stunt. We're a people, not a statement. So here, kids. Some of them are waking up.
Well, thank heaven that that's happening. And it's great, too, that it was at an event where the news could not simply black it out. They couldn't... You know, of course, they've spun it and said, well, it was getting political. But
it was political from the
start.
Imagine
that. Invite a bunch of senators to some place and it won't get political. Try that.
So there's a bit of good news, at least. There are a few students that are waking up. And I think it's probably for those that are actually getting educated to use the brains that God gave them. It's tough not to realize, hey, somebody comes in here with a gun, we're nothing but sheep waiting to be slaughtered. And I think that's why they respected this guy, Castillo, for doing what he could to stand up. I don't know the whole story. We may never. But it sounds like he went after the kid or the kids.
Yeah, they charged one of the gun creatures, and... unfortunately, this poor kid was killed, but he has become a model for not sitting back and taking it, not cowering in place, not doing all that kind of stuff, but taking some action and understanding that the police are there to draw the chalk lines afterwards and then investigate who killed you. In the meantime, you have to get killed for that to happen. So they don't like that. And I don't blame them.
Well, it's safer for them if they wait until after. One of the things about that you made, one of the comments you made, Mark, is about the SSRIs. So I would assume, based upon the evidence that we do have as far as them being going through their changes, surgical changes and so forth, that SSRIs are absolutely involved.
Well, some of the children, some of the students were shouting mental health too. And
yes.
It sounds like they knew what the situation was. They probably knew what drugs these two were on. And they probably had a better understanding of what was really going on there mentally than any of the press wants the rest of America to know. Go ahead, Tim.
And let me ask also, you've got a 16-year-old gun girl, gun person, and in what state are 16-year-olds allowed to do that, to have a gun?
Only in gun-free killing zones.
So any additional gun laws are simply piled on top of something that already wasn't working.
Exactly. We don't need new laws. We need to enforce the laws we have.
Nope, that's bull, Jeff. Sorry. We don't need to enforce the laws we have. That's crap that's being posted to people. What we need to do is the single law that matters is shall not be infringed. And when you create gun-free killing zones and enforce the laws we have, like the Lautenberg gun ban and other things, what you do is encourage nutcases to go kill innocent sheeple because it's easy to do.
Well, there are other laws that need to be that definitely do need to be enforced.
Yeah,
like thou shalt not kill.
That, there you go. Now those I'm okay with, and shall not be infringed. Thou shalt not kill.
That covers most of it.
And real gun control, as everybody knows, is making sure that if you put your finger on the target, the trigger, you intend to shoot the target. And the point is, the righteous targets here need to be taken out. And that means somebody comes into a school, what you need to have is half a dozen people blow that you-know-what away. But that's not going to happen until the laws that aren't being enforced, get deep six, because they were never really laws to begin with.
Well, there are some self-protection things going on where there's several, for instance, buckets of fist-sized rocks. And if you're a gunman and you come in there and there's 30 kids with fist-sized rocks, you're probably not going to go out of there in one piece.
Well, oh yeah.
Anything you can do is better than doing nothing. You don't want to wait for the police. You can't.
You won't live to wait for the police in so many cases. What you're saying is encourage children to think and teach them to use those brains and to say, okay, even if you're hamstrung, you can use your brain and you can do things as opposed to just cowering under a table and waiting to be shot.
And it's not always someone else's responsibility.
Oh, there you go. Hey, that's
a concept. You are responsible for yourself.
Wow. Imagine that. Okay, well.
You don't just report these kids to the principal when they're shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got only about.
Attention, timeout.
Less than 30 seconds to go. So a whole lot of bad news today in terms of the laws that don't matter if you're above the law. And I guess that's the common thread in all of these things. For the rest of us, we need to understand what the real law is and what it's not and what needs to be enforced and isn't. And then, of course, use the brains we have to come up with ways we can deal with it on every front that we can.
Yep. Spatial awareness. Know what's around you. Know what's in front of you. Know what's behind you.
And know what you can do in advance and prepare for it. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Shabbat shalom, folks.
Shabbat shalom, folks.